Imagine waking up feeling anxious and tired after a night of drinking, convinced that another drink would make you feel better. This isn't weakness or moral failing, it's chemistry. Alcohol fundamentally functions as an anesthetic and depressant, temporarily numbing discomfort while triggering a cascade of countermeasures in your brain. Your body doesn't passively accept this chemical invasion. It actively fights back by increasing sensitivity in affected brain areas and releasing stimulants as counterbalance. This explains why tolerance builds over time and why withdrawal feels so terrible. When alcohol wears off, you're left with heightened sensitivity and excess stimulants, creating anxiety and depression. The cruel irony? Another drink temporarily relieves these symptoms, creating the illusion that alcohol helps when it actually caused the problem in the first place. What we call drinker's remorse isn't merely regret over embarrassing behavior, but primarily a chemical imbalance. When depressed from drinking, we focus on life's negatives, creating a downward spiral. Even successful, wealthy people develop drinking problems because no amount of external success can overcome alcohol's chemical assault on emotional well-being. The stress you're trying to escape through drinking is often created by previous drinking sessions. You're not treating stress, you're treating withdrawal from your last drink. Your subconscious mind processes most information, building responses from repeated experiences that eventually become instinctive reactions. These aren't supernatural instincts, but logical conclusions from personal experience, and they're extraordinarily powerful. Every drink causes initial relaxation, followed by anxiety. After thousands of drinking episodes, your subconscious concludes alcohol relieves anxiety. Since relief comes immediately while anxiety develops gradually later, your subconscious misses the crucial connection that alcohol actually caused the anxiety. The timing between consumption and effect is key to addiction formation. Even when you logically understand alcohol's harmful effects, subconscious triggers persist, especially during stress. The longer you've been drinking, the more deeply embedded these triggers become, explaining why stressful situations can trigger powerful cravings even years into sobriety. Craving begins when we desire something unavailable. Rather than releasing this desire, we obsess over it, creating a mental trap that narrows our options to two: surrender or suffer. Giving in brings temporary relief, while resisting feels miserable and reinforces our perceived need. For former drinkers, this process is particularly difficult. Their subconscious triggers alcohol cravings during anxiety, and seeing others drink intensifies these feelings. The spiral transforms alcohol from a simple remedy into something seemingly essential for survival. While subconscious triggers start as brief impulses, they often evolve into conscious fantasizing, fully activating the craving. The good news? Craving exists entirely in your conscious mind, giving you control over it. Problem drinkers continue drinking not for benefits, but to avoid the misery of craving, a lose-lose situation where they're miserable without alcohol and only slightly less miserable with it. The solution isn't strengthening depleting willpower, but recognizing that the pleasure associated with drinking is merely relief from the discomfort that alcohol itself created. Have you ever wondered why just one drink often turns into several? The answer lies in how alcohol affects your mind and body at different rates. Mental relaxation fades before physical intoxication dissipates, creating a problematic pattern. When the relaxing effect wears off, we drink more to recapture it, while the physical intoxication from earlier drinks remains. We become two drinks mentally relaxed, but four drinks physically intoxicated. This accumulation explains why we occasionally overindulge, something rare with coffee or soft drinks. As our bodies become more efficient at processing alcohol, the gap between mental relaxation and physical intoxication widens, increasing the risk of losing control. This explains why someone can be over the legal driving limit the morning after drinking, yet feel completely sober. The core problem is that alcohol impairs the very judgment needed to enforce limits. The first drink compromises your ability to make rational decisions about subsequent drinks, creating a cascade of poor judgment. Though alcohol may help you fall asleep quickly, it severely compromises sleep quality. Normal sleep alternates between slow-wave sleep, deep, restorative, and REM sleep, dreaming, both essential for health. When drinking, you typically experience only 2 REM cycles instead of the normal 6 or 7. Alcohol induces unnaturally deep sleep for about 5 hours with insufficient REM sleep. After this period, coinciding with peak alcohol withdrawal, sleep becomes fragmented, explaining why drinkers often wake around 5 hours after their last drink. Even without classic hangover symptoms, drinkers wake unrefreshed. That just a bit tired feeling is actually part of the hangover, and even one drink disrupts natural sleep patterns. Many believe they sleep well after drinking, but quality matters more than quantity. Alcohol-affected sleep lacks the necessary cycles for proper restoration. Sleep deprivation effects accumulate over time, causing fatigue, decreased mental capacity, and irritability, creating a cycle where tiredness makes us more likely to drink again. Alcohol directly impacts the limbic system, the brain's emotional center responsible for controlling emotions and forming long-term memories. Rather than revealing our true selves, it inhibits the brain's natural emotional regulators that normally keep our feelings in check. When drinking, minor irritations trigger disproportionate reactions because our emotional braking system is chemically disabled. Any emotion, anger, sentimentality, introspection, or self-pity can run unchecked. Our typical emotional tendencies when sober become magnified. This emotional dysregulation damages relationships. Couples normally overlook minor irritations out of love, but alcohol removes this tolerance, creating arguments and lasting harm. Each drink provides a momentary boost, but ultimately intensifies negative emotions, even as we perceive relief. This explains why alcoholics aren't happier despite consuming the most relief. Our subconscious recognizes the immediate lift, but fails to connect it with the accumulation of negative feelings. The drinking version of ourself is never the real us, just a tired, irritable, overly emotional version that's unpleasant to be around. The key to defeating addiction is destroying the myth that alcohol provides genuine pleasure or benefit. When examining idealized drinking scenarios, we discover that the enjoyable elements exist without alcohol. Addiction involves physical triggers, subconscious triggers, craving spirals, and the mental agony of stopping. Successful quitting requires recognizing that alcohol's perceived benefits merely relieve discomfort it created. When triggered to drink, don't let the thought fester. Actively view alcohol realistically. Think of alcohol as a feeling loan shark. It advances good feelings, but demands repayment with greater unhappiness. The greatest benefit of quitting is regaining peak physical and mental health. Within days, quality of life improves as you reclaim self-respect and control. Sleep transforms as waking refreshed becomes normal again. For most, withdrawal involves one difficult day, followed by feeling below par for a few days. The first night is hardest, but focusing on upcoming benefits helps you persevere. The fundamental question isn't whether you have a drinking problem, but whether alcohol provides more benefits than costs. When you truly understand alcohol's effects, freedom becomes inevitable.